You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Coming up, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Bucks postgame show on our flagship station, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, now joining us. And Sparky, last night, kind of a tale of two halves. It wasn't a pretty game, but you'll take the win. But the first half of that ball game, can somebody please throw up a defense, throw up a hand or something? And it just seemed like they were flat-footed and lethargic against a team that they should have just dominated.
That's typical Bucks. That's how it goes. But, I mean, unlike the last game where they got blown out the entire game by 20, 25 points against the Pacers, at least this game they were able to respond. Now, that is the reason why Orlando is much worse than Indiana at this point. They're just a bad basketball team as Orlando. They can't shoot the ball all that well. They don't play all that great in defense. So he just figured over the course of time in that game last night, the Bucks would respond. Giannis gets 13 there in the third quarter, and they pull away in the second half, and it's a wrap at that point. Henson has a nice double-double last night, too, so that helped him.
So Giannis, he just kind of wears down the Magic last night. We just saw him kind of take over that ball game. Even with, what did they end up calling that? Was it a contusion that was bleeding all over the court last night that they had to stop play to be able to fix that thing up last night?
Contusion, I don't know. Whatever you want to call it medical term-wise, I don't know, man. All these medical terms that they have, why can't they just call it a cut or something like that?
Nah.
They got to come up with contusions and all this other stuff. I don't know. He's fine. You come back on Friday now against Golden State, and this is a game that history says the Bucks will be up for. And history also says the Bucks have tended to have Golden State's number. They play Golden State tough whenever they play them. And then you have the Steph Curry thing that just happened yesterday in practice, shoot around, whatever it was, where he sprained his ankle again. And he's had those ankle issues throughout his career. And he said the biggest deal for him was, as long as it doesn't swell up, he thinks he'll be able to play Friday against the Bucks. So they may not be without Steph Curry on Friday. And if they're not without Steph Curry on Friday, the Bucks' chances obviously improved to win that basketball game.
Last night, Aaron Gordon, he was all over the place in the post. He used a spin move. He was getting layups. Nobody was boxing the guy out. I can't tell you how many second-chance points he ended up with in the first half. I have no idea. I saw at least two or three. But what is it about when you see something so significant that this team or coaching staff can't motivate these guys to just play a little defense, just get your butt in a guy and keep him behind you?
That's the NBA. I mean, that is just NBA basketball for the most part. I've been screaming about guys boxing out for the Bucks for 20 years. I mean, that's just kind of what it is. I don't know if you look, Tom Thibodeau, that's a perfect example. Look at Thibodeau for the T-Wolves. I mean, he's supposed to be this defensive wizard and has been. He was in Boston. His Bulls teams play great defense. And you look at Minnesota, they haven't played all that great a defense in the games that I've seen them this year, especially they do it against the Bucks. So they're also trying to find their way, too. And they've got a younger team with Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns, and so forth. And then they got some vets on that team with, you know, Jimmy Butler kind of being the focal point of the offense right now. But they're trying to find their way. Yeah, boxing out is basic. You get taught in elementary school. You get taught it in high school. You should know it in college. But whatever the reason, when you get to the NBA, there's really not a lot of guys that actually do it consistently inside. And so they want to rely on their athleticism, try and out jump the guy next to him, or they're just lazy. I mean, pick which one you want to use as the excuse. That is what it is, and it's been that way forever in the league. Well, not forever, but at least the last 10 years or so.
So last night they get an ugly win, and you take a win. A win is a win. I don't care how you get it, but you take a win. And right now, you know, you got the Bucks four games over 500. Realistically, have you adjusted your overall win total for the season?
Nope. I said 52, I think, at the beginning of the year, and I haven't changed it. And I said, we made our projections on our afternoon show in Milwaukee. I said 52, and they all kind of laughed at me on the show. And they're like, why? And I said, well, I figure when Jabari gets back, you know, end of January, mid to end of January, and then they're probably six, seven games over. And when Jabari comes back, I'm assuming Jabari's going to get on a big role offensively, knowing that he's playing for a huge contract this summer as a restricted free agent. And that'll carry him over 50 wins in the second half of the year, and they'll get on a big role with Jabari. And that was not knowing that they were going to get Eric Bledsoe, obviously, at this point. So Bledsoe has been a huge find for them and has played very well. Now you had Jabari's offense when he comes back. They're saying now, a week before the All-Star break, they're hoping to get him back. So we'll see how that goes. But they're still on pace to be right around six, seven games over when Jabari Parker gets back, and they'll have a chance to make that big run. I think right now they're on pace to win like 44 games, and you would still have two games left at that point, even after that. So they're still in the area to win 45, 46 games, even with as bad as how many people thought they have played in the fire kid camp and everything else, it'll be tough to fire Jason Kidd if they win 50 games this year.
The John Henson, I wanted to talk about him a moment because last night, not a bad game out of him, another double-double. How do you think he's morphed in his role ever since Moose gets traded?
I think part of the reason why you've seen a little bit more consistent John Henson is because he's not looking over his shoulder. I mean, it's clear his Deaton Maker is not ready to play, you know, big-time minutes. He still has to add weight and figure out some other stuff. I mean, he doesn't finish all that strong. There's a bunch of stuff Thon Maker has to improve on, and he knows it, and he's working on it. But as far as Henson goes, the rest of his career, he always got yanked. Every time, you know, he had that inconsistent moment or whatever, game or two, he got yanked, and they put the veteran player in, and there went John Henson's minutes. Now, they have nobody. He's it. He's the only guy. Now, how will Henson adjust and play once they get that veteran big on this basketball team at the trade deadline, which everybody's assuming is going to happen? Then we'll see if he goes back to old John Henson. But right now, as a starter, knowing he's going to get minutes every night, knowing what his role is, knowing what's expected of him, you're seeing what I think a lot of people think John Henson might have been able to do his whole career had he been given an opportunity to, you know, play through his inconsistencies and so forth. But instead, he's had coaching staff bail on him, and that's what's happened.
Last night, I want to go back to something Bledsoe said, where he talked about after the game, he talked about transition and transition basketball and how we need to get out in front of it and get a lot of easy buckets that way. And I would wholeheartedly agree. I guess my question then becomes, if they know that's what their offense is, I keep going back to Jason Kidd. I don't want to, but I keep going back to Jason Kidd. How do you figure this out to where this team can be better, that can take it to another level in transition basketball? If night in and night out, one night you'll see it and one night you don't.
Yeah, well, that's been the thing since Kid's been here. Kid doesn't want to run since he's been here. He wants him to push the pace and get up the floor and get out in transition. And you're right. We have not seen that consistently from this Bucks team in the time that Jason Kidd has been here either. And that's something that you want to do. But to be honest with you, I would think, 95% of the teams in the NBA want to get out and run in transition? It would be my guess at this point. I mean, it's not like the Bucks are the only team trying to get out and run and can't do it. I think most teams in this league would want to get out and run and get the easy baskets. So from that perspective, I think it's just something that has to obviously come over time and so forth. The Fire Kid camp that is seemingly prominent on social media, I'm not sure how big it is, but the people that are vocal about it are all over it. I understand where they're at. You know, they want to go compete for the Eastern Conference Finals. They want to win a round of the playoffs. They want to win 50 games, and they're very impatient, which is to be expected, I guess. But everybody's acting like, you know, Giannis has been doing this for 4 years, and he's been the star forever, and that's not the case. And this is the first year where he's played like one of the better players in the NBA. He took a big step last year to get to that 20-point mark. And now this year, he's literally at the top of the league, you know, in minutes played, number one. Middleton's number two. So Kidd's playing him more than he's played him in the past. Same with Middleton. And Kidd has shortened down that rotation. For everybody that complained about Kidd's rotations, and still complain about Kidd's rotations, it always was, why does he have to play 10 or 11 guys until January or February? Well, now this year, because of injuries and because of the youth on this team, he's playing essentially like 8 guys a night, and you might get a nice guy that played 7 or 8 minutes, but for the most part, it's an 8-man rotation, and people aren't going to complain about that, and they don't like that either. No matter what Jason Kidd does in regards to that Fire Kid camp, he's not going to please him. He's not going to make him happy. So the only way to really shut everybody up is to win the 50 games that he talked about, that his players talked about, and his coaching staff talked about. If they end this season, you know, a game or two over 500, or God forbid, under 500, then everybody's going to lose their mind. He needs to be around 50 wins at the end of the year, and do something in the playoffs. And if they do that, I don't see why Jason Kidd isn't the coach going forward.
They've won 5 of their last 8, if you want to, you know, get excited about that, but it's also been very much up and down. Win one, lose one, win two, lose one, and against some teams that they should be beating. Like you had mentioned, Golden State coming to town, then they go on the road for a couple, and they've got Miami back at home before they go back out on the road. That, all of this to be looked at, where should this team be in your eyes by the, how many games over by the time they get to the All-Star break to where you then become a believer to say, okay, now they're about ready to throw this thing back on the tracks?
They'll be ready when Jabari Parker gets back. I think, like I said before, I think they'll be, you know, 5 to 7 games over 500, somewhere in that area about the All-Star break. And at that point, Jabari should have played, based on what I'm hearing, should have played at least a week by that point, at least two or three games. Take the break, get rested and relaxed. Giannis does his all-star thing, come back, and go. I don't think they're going to get all that much better defensively. I think what's going to happen is, like most of the year, they're going to have to outscore people. And adding a fourth score is really going to give you that added weapon to really throw up 120 on a given night when you need it. This whole thing of, oh boy, they're going to play lockdown defense and they're going to keep teams under 100 points, that's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I don't really care if you had DeAndre Jordan, Hassan Whiteside, Dwight Howard, pick. It doesn't matter. They're not going to pull teams under 100 points consistently, guys. It's just not, you don't have enough individual defenders on this team to do it. And they're trying to do it with a system where, you know, you're doubling and trapping all this other stuff. And they've made adjustments to that system throughout the year, too. It sounds like the Bucks coaching staff hasn't been trying to figure out that defense. You just don't have a lot of good defensive players on this team. And that was put together based on the roster construction that you had. And now you have to live with it and move forward.
Good stuff as always, man. We'll chat again next week. And hopefully we're talking about a few more wins, at least a little bit better looking team.
All right, man. Sounds good.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Bucks postgame show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, our flagship station out of Milwaukee, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.